What does it mean to walk closely with God? In Exodus 19, the Israelites gather at Mount Sinai for a divine meeting that'll shape their identity and future. God reveals His covenant, promising blessings for obedience and a special role as His treasured people. Today, Stephen will help you understand God's call to holiness, obedience, and reverence, and how it applies to your life. Learn what it means to be set apart for God's purposes.
Today, we're going back to the basic foundational principle for godly living. Not only for the Israelite nation, by the way, but also for us as believers. In Exodus chapter 19, we're given principles for how to walk with God. We're told why it's important to walk with God. And we're going to be shown how it all began for Israel near the mountain we call Mount Sinai. Now, there are two primary reasons God holds this meeting at Sinai. And the first reason, obviously, is to communicate significant revelation to God's people in light of His own character. That's what we read here in verse 1. On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness before the mountain while Moses went up to God. Now, the text goes on to tell us in verse 3, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, giving Moses what he was to say to the people of Israel. Now, there are several aspects of this revelation from God that I want to point out. First, it begins with a review in verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I have read, by the way, that the eagle will fly beneath her young eaglets to catch them on her wings if they falter. So God basically is saying here that His care is like that of an eagle. Although Israel has failed, He has faithfully cared for them. He's brought them from Egypt to this place and into this special relationship with Him. Now, verse 5 makes it clear that God's revelation is going to demand a response. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. Now, did you notice that word covenant here? A covenant in the Bible refers to a solemn treaty, a solemn agreement. It binds two parties in a contract that spells out the obligations of each party. It also spells out the consequences for breaking the covenant. Well, this covenant here, which we call the Mosaic Covenant, is conditional. In other words, God says, if you do all these things, you will then enjoy the benefits of being my people. Now, get this. Israel will always be God's covenant people, but they might not experience all the benefits of being His people related to this covenant. And that brings us to a third aspect of this revelation. Obedience to God's revelation results in rewards. And verse 5 names the first of three rewards. You shall be my treasured possession. You know, this is a very tender expression. God wants the people of Israel to understand that they are highly valued in His eyes. And what God treasures, He's going to protect and nurture. Verse 6 promises another reward for the people if they obey the Lord's covenant. God says here, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. By the way, the Apostle Peter uses this expression in reference to New Testament believers. He says, you, Christians, that is, are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. A priest was someone who stood between God and the people. A priest spoke to God on behalf of the people and spoke to the people in response to what he learned from God. So Peter is essentially saying this in the same way God intended to make of Israel a kingdom of priests, you and I, as followers of Christ, are also priests. And as His priests, we're to speak to our neighbors, co-workers, fellow students, as representatives of God. And we're also able, aren't we, to go directly to God and intercede for people all around the world? That's the work of a priest. The third reward for obeying God's covenant commands is also stated here in verse 6. You shall be a holy nation. Now, to be holy doesn't mean to be perfect. The word holy means to be set apart to God as a distinct people, separated from sin. And that's exactly what God's people to this day ought to be. Now, before we move on, let me tell you that God is preparing his people here to receive the Ten Commandments. This is where we're headed next. And God wants Israel to know that by his grace, by God's grace, they've been chosen to be God's treasured possession, set apart from the rest of the nations as priests to represent God to a fallen world. Now, earlier I pointed out that one purpose of God in the Sinai summit was to communicate significant revelation to Israel. But there's another purpose he has in mind, and that is to create in the people a deep and genuine respect for who he was. Now, let me give you three ingredients of what it means to have a genuine respect for God. First, it involves a willingness to obey. We read here in verse 7, Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord God had commanded him, that is in verses 1 through 6. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Hey, they're saying here, God, whatever you have to say, we want you to know we'll obey. Their words are sincere, even if they're a little naive about their own sinful hearts. The second ingredient of genuine respect for God is an openness to listen. We read here in verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever. Now look, this hearing is not like some of us husbands, you know, when our wives ask us to empty the garbage pail and I got to confess, okay, I heard my wife, but I wasn't really listening, so I never did anything about it. Now, the Lord is talking here about hearing that is truly listening that results in doing. That's genuine respect for God. Now, a third ingredient of genuine respect for God is a recognition of his superiority. Listen here as God warns Moses in verse 12. You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. See, God's impressing on them that there's a separation between the holy creator and the creature. He's not a good buddy. He's not the man upstairs. He's not JC. God is awesome. God is glorious. And recognizing this causes us to revere him and to respect him. You know, if God were to show up in a church service today, I think most Christians would think they'd run up and give him a big hug, you know, or a high five, or, you know, have him sign their Bible. No, we would all fall down. We'd sound a lot like Isaiah and recognize how sinful we are and how awesome and infinitely superior he is. You see, God is revealing these truths about his character before he ever delivers Ten Commandments. We're also told in the New Testament account of this event in Hebrews 12 that when God finally showed up, even Moses said this, I tremble with fear. Well, how do we approach God boldly and without cowering in fear, while at the same time coming before him with genuine respect and awe and worship? He invites us to come to him. Well, this is how we come. We approach God the Father through Jesus Christ, who made a way by his sacrifice on the cross. You see, you can have that summit meeting with the Lord every single day and throughout the day. But you come humbly. You come in awe of his greatness and his glory. You don't come to tell him what he's doing wrong or what he needs to get busy doing. And we certainly don't demand, you know, that our will be done. No, we pray, oh God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? For yours is the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, with that, we're out of time for today. Until we meet again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
So never forget, friend, that God calls you to walk with Him in reverence and obedience. You know, Stephen, a few minutes ago, we just wrapped up our weekly staff meeting. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the fact that today, 10,000 people will visit our website. Mm-hmm. Several hundred thousand will listen online, and most of them will be anonymous. Mm-hmm. And so when we do hear from someone, it makes it all the more precious and encouraging to us.
Yeah, and we also wonder as a staff, as we pray for all of the anonymous listeners, that wisdom will help them walk in obedience. And so I got a few notes here. Some friends did drop in and leave a note in the email section. And so let me read them. Melissa writes from Orlando, Florida. Your lesson on the fruit of the Spirit changed how I approach parenting. I used to rely on my own strength, but now I pray daily for God to grow within me love, patience, and kindness. And my kids have noticed the difference, and our home feels more peaceful. Your teaching is impacting generations in my family. Well, that's wonderful to hear how this is helping her walk in obedience. Kevin writes from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The teaching on evangelism inspired me to share my faith with my coworkers. I always thought I wasn't qualified, but your message reminded me that God equips those He calls. I've had meaningful conversations now that I'd never had thought possible before. Thank you for encouraging me to step out in faith. Thank you so much, friends, for dropping us these notes.
It was great to hear from you. If you'd like to send Stephen a message, you can address your email to info@wisdomonline.org. That's info@wisdomonline.org. I hope we hear from you today. If we can assist you personally, our number is 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. Please join us next time as we continue this wisdom journey.